So today we are continuing a series we started last week titled Walk by Faith. It's a series based off of the theme of the South Carolina Annual Conference this year was walking by faith, not by sight. Encouraging churches, encouraging pastors, encouraging our leaders to dream dreams so big, to go out and do things so transformative that they would be God-sized dreams, that we would have to walk by faith to accomplish them. So last week we looked at Mark 8 and how Jesus healed the blind man, but he touched him twice. And we said sometimes when we walk in our faith, we end up walking by sight and not by faith. And we need Jesus to reach out and touch us again. And like a loving Savior, he does that. And so today we're going to be continuing that. We're going to be continuing that same theme, that same process. We're going to be in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I'm going to start with verse 24 and read through verse 29. If you're using one of our Bibles, that's on page 788. If you're in your Bible or on your trusty device, Matthew 7, and it'll be at verse 24. I do invite you to stand in reverence and in honor of the reading of the gospel lesson this morning as we hear the words of Jesus. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is known as the Sermon on the Mount. So Jesus has been going through this three-chapter sermon, and now he's wrapping it up, and he's giving a warning to all those that are listening. Hear the words of our Savior. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Now when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astounded at his teachings, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let's pray. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So Jesus concludes this sermon with this parable. It's a parable about building. It's a parable about action. If you use one of our Bibles here at the church, there's even a subtitle that says, hearers and doers. So it's kind of finding ourselves in one or the other. So the question today, as we look at walking by faith in our life, that I want you to ponder is, how are you building? Are you a hearer or a doer? Are you a wise or a foolish builder? I think back, this time of the year is always kind of special for us. And 2 years ago, as we went to celebrate one last little trip as a family before this thing called ministry, we went to the beach, which those of you that have known me for a little while know I don't care for. But my wife and my son love it. And so we went, and my mom was with us, and we played, and we built sandcastles, and we did all those fun things that drive me nuts. And I just don't like the combination of salt, sweat, and sand. And you just never feel clean, even after a shower. And you guys are nodding their heads. They know exactly what I'm talking about, and some of you ladies do too. But we did it. And then we had to travel up to Florence, South Carolina, for the licensing ceremony, which was a huge day and a major honor. And so we went, and it was supposed to take place at like 9:30, 10 o'clock, 11 at the latest is what they told us. We broke for lunch at 12:30, 1 o'clock, and we hadn't had it yet. And my wife and my mom sat with a four-year-old, just turned four-year-old little boy in the upper deck of this arena. And I guess he was scared for his life because I told him he had to be perfect or we would not go back to the beach. He didn't know that our bags were at the beach, so we had to go back to the beach. He wasn't smart enough to know that at the time, but he was perfect. By an act of God, a divine intervention, if you will, he was perfect the entire time. So the next day, I said, he deserves it. I'm all in. Sandcastles, buddy, buried, whatever you want to do. And they got a little more elaborate. And then the last day, we built this huge sandcastle village with this huge moat because he kept building these little ones. And then the waves came. And y'all know what happens. It knocks them down, right? So then you build it and you build out a little moat and it'll last a little bit longer, but eventually it'll fall too. And then we made a little lake at the back, and so it would come through the moat and fill up the lake, and that would last a little bit longer, but eventually that would fall too. And then the last day the moat was big enough, he could crawl underneath and come through. I mean, Dad was all in on this when Mom was doing the decorative stuff and I'm down there digging. I mean, who knows how deep we were, probably too deep, but then the waves started coming in with the tide, and it filled up. And I was like, see, buddy, it stayed. And then one more big wave came, and it crashed it down. We all know that a sandcastle is just a matter of time before the wind or the water or somebody not paying attention steps on it and knocks it down. We know that. But oftentimes, that's how we build our lives. We build our lives on sand because it's easier. It takes less commitment. It takes less sacrifice. It's quicker. And it provides what the world has taught us is important, and that's that instantaneous gratification. So we build our lives upon the sand, and we see that Jesus' words dictate and determine what our foundation really is. He says, everyone who hears these words of mine. Now, I want to remind you, the group listening to him would have been faithful Jews, so they would have been what we would have considered religious people, church people. So he's talking to a crowd much like this. And he says, all of you hear, but everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them, puts them into practice, lives them out, is like somebody building their house on rock. Because the winds are going to come, and the rains are going to come, and the floods are going to come, and the storms are going to come, and it's not going to go anywhere because the foundation is solid. But then he says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like the foolish man who builds his house on sand, and we know how the story ends. Jesus knew that some would listen. Some would act, and some would follow. Jesus knew that even the religious crowd he was talking to, and all throughout history and in every church across the world, that there would also be some who would not listen, who would not act, and who would not follow. And he gives us the warning of what happens. He doesn't say that that house just fell. He says, great was its fall. You ever had a great fall in your life? I have. But how are we building? As individuals, how are you building? As a church, how are we building? Are we building our life on the rock and living by faith? Are we building it on sand and living it by sight? On December 2001, the Leaning Tower of Pisa was finally reopened to the public after being closed for almost a dozen years. And during that time, they had to bring in all these engineers, and they spent about $25 million to restore and to renovate this landmark, this place that people wanted to come see from all over. They removed 110 tons of dirt and reduced the lean. So the building's supposed to lean anyway, but they reduced it by 16 inches. Now, I know for us that doesn't sound like a lot, but you get up top, and that thing's leaning, and it's a big deal. So why was it necessary? Was it necessary because it was built bad? Was it necessary because of the weather? It was necessary because of the foundation it was built on. The town is known for its soft sand. It doesn't have a strong rock underneath it. There's not granite or bedrock underneath it. So the problem was that this sandy soil was causing the building to lean 75 feet further south than it was supposed to. I'm sorry, 17 feet. 185-foot tower was 17 feet further south than it was at the bottom. Now imagine that. Imagine, that's a big lean. And they knew if something didn't change, if the foundation was not solidified, that it would eventually snap and be disastrous. In this parable, I think it's easy to see both of them. I think it's easy to see the sandcastles washing away. I think it's easy to see the renovations needed to the foundation of a tall building. I think we can see in this parable that both houses probably looked the same. They were probably built with the same material. We have to assume they're built in a similar location because the same storm, Jesus says, is going to come and do the same things to it. But what's the difference in the houses? It's the foundation. I don't know about you. I can't speak about you. But I've experienced storms in my life. Some of you have experienced storms this week. Some of you are sitting in the middle of a storm this morning. Jesus knows that storms are coming. He never shies away from that. He doesn't tell us that we will accept Him and then storms will go away. He says the rain is going to come. The flood is going to come. The wind is going to beat against the house. So the question becomes, what is our foundation? After his failed attempt as a missionary in America, John Wesley left Georgia defeated, wondering why he failed, wondering if he was truly called into ministry, wondering if when he got home, if he wouldn't just get a normal job and go on about his life, wondering if he was even saved. And then he gets back to England. And a big thing that happened on the trip there, he begins to remember this storm they encountered on the ship. We've talked about this several times in Bible study. And this storm's tossing him to and fro, and he is scared for his life. He knows he's going to die on the sea, and he is in utter panic. Fear of his life. And over on the other side of the ship sits a German group known as the Moravians. And they're singing and they're praying and they're praising God in the midst of the storm. Wesley asked them, said, how can you do this? And the leader of that group said, do you know Jesus Christ? He said, I'm an Anglican priest. He said, I didn't ask you that. I asked you if you knew Jesus Christ. Because their foundation was on the rock that they knew would never fail. And so they, in the midst of the storm, could sing and celebrate and praise God. While John Wesley, one of the greatest revivalists of all time, stood on the boat afraid for his life. It wasn't long after he returned where he had his Aldersgate experience where he trusted in Christ and Christ alone. And he knew then that the foundation of his ministry would be Jesus forever. And that's why he then taught the people called Methodists, which then turned into eventually the United Methodist Church. He taught them this process of becoming more like Christ. Building our lives on the foundation of Christ, and then because that is our foundation, becoming to look more like Him every single day. Because then other people could notice a difference in our foundation. And then too could learn how to build their foundation on the Savior. Jesus didn't say if the storms were coming. Jesus didn't talk to non-believers. He talked to the religious people. And he said the storms will come. The rain will fall. The wind will blow. And there will be things that will beat upon your house, your life, and your soul. The question is, can we withstand the storms? As individuals, as a church, can we withstand the storms? Are we hearers or are we doers? Do we act on the teachings of Jesus by striving to become more like him? Do we take his call to be his disciples and his witnesses in the world serious? We have to ask ourselves those questions, and you have to be honest, because if the answer is no, then your foundation is not the rock of Jesus Christ. It is a sandy version of church. Standing on the promises of God. See, we can stand on the promises of God because we know they will not fail. Bishop Holston put it this way: sometimes what happens in our lives is we have too many people and too many churches standing on the promises of God that they'll sit down and never leave their premises. So we can't just stand on the promises that God made. We have to then go live them out. That if he goes with us, we cannot fail. That the storms can do whatever they want to do in our lives and it won't matter. Because our foundation is the unshakable rock of Christ. I want to talk to dads for a minute. I want to talk to men. I want to talk to Andrew for a moment. I want to talk to granddads and uncles. Our kids, the world, our spouses need us to stop building our lives on sand. They need us to start building our lives and our kids and our spouses and our families and our nieces and our nephews and our neighbors and our coworkers. They need to see that we stand on the rock of Jesus Christ. We were called to be courageous. We were called to be warriors. We were called to lead our families. And too many times we don't take this calling serious. And we let these opportunities pass by. And our kids watch us build upon sand, and they see us not putting Christ as a priority in our life, and they see us making other things more important than serving him. And then they grow up and do the same thing, and we want to ask, what's wrong with the younger generation? What's wrong with the younger generation is too many adults won't stand up on solid ground and say, this is the right way to do things. There's nothing wrong with our younger generation except for who they're looking at to lead them. And I'm talking to myself, guys. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to me. I didn't want to preach this week. I'll go ahead and be honest with you. Because I had to ask myself, does my son, does my wife, does my mom, does my dad, do my sisters, do my brothers, do my nieces and nephews see me standing on rock, or do they see me standing on sand? And I said, well, God, maybe I'm like this. I'm straddling the state line. And that's not good enough, because that sand will eventually wash you to a split that I can't do. I'll be leaning Andrew, and leaning Andrew falls down. But guys, here's the guys, ladies, church, brothers and sisters. Here's the good news. It doesn't matter how great our fall has been because we built on sand. The rock has not changed. And he says, it doesn't matter what's happened in your life. I love you. I died for you. And we can start our own $25 million renovation project in our life by moving our house and building on the rock of Christ today. We do not have to continue where we are. We can restore our foundation. It may be painful. It may cause sacrifice. But I bet the results will be worth it. So how are you building? What is the foundation that your life is built on? What would other people say about you and about our church? About me? About all of us? Is it time for you to build for the first time? On the rock of Christ? Is it time for you to go through a major reconstruction of your foundation? See, too many times, especially as guys, we are too tough and stubborn to admit that we need a Savior. We're too strong and cool to admit that we're weak and need to humble ourselves, to fall on our knees at the altar and say, Lord, have mercy on me. But if that's what it takes to build our life upon the rock of Christ, if that's what it takes for us to put our hope and our trust in, then Lord, give us the grace and the strength to do it. Let's pray.